organize your resource, human resources system. You need to make the state business services more streamlined and continue to upgrade, which we've been a consistent advocate for, your information technology system so that your data you need is there when you need it. We've spent a lot of time over the years looking at major reorganizations. As you know, statutorily, we hear reorganizations from the governor before they come to you. A couple of key things that I would emphasize. Communication is absolutely important. The barriers of trust, I think, are better than they've been, but they need a lot of repairing. And the coordination between the locals and the state needs to start to take place. Some roles will continue to conflict, but I think the state needs to essentially change the way that it thinks about what it does and change the way that it thinks about what its responsibilities are and communicate that clearly to the counties in order for this realignment to work. One of the recommendations I would have to assist you is I'd form a really small task force of two counties, two people, two of your state departments among your department heads that get it and are interested in doing this, believe in it, and have the skill set to be able to do it, maybe one outsider, and keep that working group going and advising you, because they'll give you a lot of good information about what works and what doesn't work and what the impediments are to making those whole systems work. A few words just I would just keep in mind as I went forward with the realignment, just in my brain. Most of them have been mentioned today. Simplify, flexibility, innovation, outcomes, accountability, and then a last one is persistent leadership. This is not easy. This is hard. And as Mr. Taylor said, you don't have a lot of time. And so you're going to be at this after this year. So it's going to take persistent leadership from the governor's office. It's going to take persistent leadership in the legislature. And I want to emphasize consistent leadership in the departments as well. And I think you need to realistically evaluate your departments and their skill sets and the skill sets of their leaders and make sure that you have the right people in those positions that can lead this effort, because you'll conduct hearings and you'll provide oversight and you'll provide funding formulas and the governor's office will provide similar types of oversight. But the day-to-day work is done in those departments, and if they don't buy in, it won't work. And there's a lot of institutional inertia in Sacramento that needs to be busted in order for this to work. When we issued our report in May of 2004, we always have a transmittal letter. It said, reforms will be difficult, but worth the effort. Importantly, the scale of reforms that are necessary may only be possible when faced with a crisis of this magnitude. That was in 2004. I would submit that whatever crisis we were facing then, it's way worse today. And we stand ready and willing to help you and assist you in any way that we can, and feel free to call on us and our staff at any time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hancock. That was a good note to end on. I want to thank you for your work, and Mac, of course, and Mary Ann, thank you. If there are any comments from legislators before I open it to the public? All right. Thank you, the three of you. And if there is any public comment, now's the time. Come on forward. I can't believe it. Really? Quiet group.
They're stunned.
They're stunned. No, we have somebody not stunned. Come on down. Take the bait.
A couple of things. I think.
Who are you?
First of all, Dan Wall. I'm recently retired as the head lobbyist for LA County, but I'm staying on until they have a replacement. So, and this is a cautionary note, I think, because in general, I agree with, you know, pretty much everything that was said here today. And I think you got an excellent perspective from the folks that testified. But there was one comment that was not a conclusionary statement, it was not a specific recommendation, but it sort of triggered a little alarm in my mind. And that was a comment about allocating dollars on the basis of the amount of money that's spent in a program today, and that that may not be the right amount of money per recipient or client or whatever. And that is true. The cautionary note, though, goes back to 1984, when the medically indigent adults were given to counties. And the statement was made at the time, counties can do this more efficiently, therefore we're going to give them 70 cents on the dollar. Well, it turned out that that wasn't the case, and there were, I think, both statutory, regulatory, and federal constraints that prevented counties from being more efficient. And so what that 30-cent shortfall was simply a dump of a problem onto counties. So I think the key that I would like to emphasize to this committee is that if you're going to postulate efficiencies and allocate less than what is being spent today, then there really has to be some tangible flexibility, administrative control that is conferred upon the counties so that that efficiency can in fact be realized. Otherwise, it's just going to be harmful to the whole effort. That was the
very good point. Thank you.
Thank you,
Dan. Anyone else wish to address the committee? All right. We will be having hearings each Wednesday. We will begin to consider the governor's proposal in depth next week, and we will move on to consideration of budget process and other reforms, PAYGO, performance-based budgeting, two-year budgeting. We will consider legislation fairly quickly and others as we unearth them. And we will certainly consider enterprise zones, the single sales factor proposal, redevelopment agencies, and other things as they arise. So I want to thank my vice chair and the members of the committee, and all of the testimony today was excellent, and I want to thank the staff for their work. So we are adjourned until next week. Thank you.